Amen. We are, aren't we? Going higher. You know, I mentioned it Sunday morning how the biblical definition of prosperity, to prosper, is progress. And when you're making progress in life, that's God's definition of prosperity. You know, I think in everyone's mind they would have an idea for what that meant for them. But it's God's will that you make progress, that you prosper, not just financially, but in every arena of your life you ought to be making progress in. You ought to be growing in Him. I was even thinking about that this past week, how much I've grown in the Lord, and thankful for that growth. I'm thankful I'm not where I'm at, where I was 10 years ago, but thankful for where I'm at now, and thankful for where I'll be 10 years from this place, and even beyond that, because we ought to be growing in Him. And friend, I'm telling you, a solid recipe for to prosper and for prosperity, to make... Is that me? There we go. Yeah. Should I stand, move? That's not the Holy Ghost, that's just me. But a solid way to prosper and make progress in every arena of life is to honestly take the time to follow Him and to take the time to be in His presence. What we just did even with praise and worship, it is vitally important for you and for me to take the time to do that, not just in service, but also in your own personal life, to take the time to walk with Him and to be with Him. You know, we said this a couple of Sundays ago, that it's your devotion to the Lord that changes you. And devotion is simply when His heart is reaching yours, where you could put it this way, deep is calling unto deep. And you've got to have those times of dwelling in His presence. It's just a necessity. It's not optional. You have to have those times where you're willing to take the time to be in His presence. That's why coming to church is so important too, amen? And coming to the right church, a church that's going to take the time to get into the presence of God. And I'm so thankful that, even when they sing and lead us into praise and worship, that it's not just a habit. You know, it's easy to fall into habit. But no, we want to go into praise and worship and enter into His courts. Not just hope we get there. No, we enter in. Amen. We're excited about that. I want to encourage you to keep doing that even in your own personal life. Just have a devotional with the Lord. I'm excited this evening. My mom is here with me, here with us. Would you stand up real quick and we'll give honor where honor is due? Amen. She's the mother of this church. She birthed it with my father many years ago, and we're super excited to have her close. She's out there in Tennessee now, pastoring with Marcus Whitman III, doing a wonderful job. And so Hope, who's my sister, she's over preschool and nursery, and her husband Ryan, who also works on the church staff here, they took a little vacation, and so she came in to keep the kids. That's a good marriage ship, too. You ought to take some time just with you and your wife. Amen. The kids are good, but they're going to leave you eventually. You're with your spouse for a long time, you're connected with them. You're a covenant partner with them. And so just as you ought to invest in your kids, you ought to invest in your spouse. Amen. And so she's here keeping the kids, and we're glad to have her part of our week this week. Open up your Bibles with me to the book of John, John chapter 10. And we're going to look here at verses 2 and 3 in John chapter 10. On the screens, if you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 14 and 18 on the screens. We're going to the book of John chapter 10 in our Bibles. We've been talking on Wednesday nights about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and particularly majoring on speaking in tongues, speaking in an unknown tongue, or speaking in the Spirit, whatever your definition for that is, or phrase you want to entitle it. And I think this perhaps may be our last message in that series. I sense something coming up in my heart from the book of Galatians to maybe minister on next Wednesday. Excited about it. But tonight I just couldn't get away from talking on this subject. I mentioned last week at the end of the message there that I grew up in a house where speaking in tongues was common. I grew up in a church where the ministry of the Holy Spirit was prevalent, and that type of behavior, speaking in an unknown tongue, was something that was as real to us as salvation. You know, I think in youth, I was talking to our youth pastor, Luke Spencer, this week, and he said he got over on the subject of speaking in tongues last Wednesday night, the same night we were talking about it. And he said he talked about it with the youth this way, that, you know, if you had 6 presents underneath the tree for Christmas time, how foolish would it be to just open up 5 and say, well, you know, I don't want to open up that 6th one. No, there's no child who's not going to open up that 6th present. No, they're ready to get into it. And it's the same way with God. God's given us many gifts, and we want to open up all of them. And one of those gifts is the Holy Spirit. And it seems as if people have kind of left that gift alone for whatever reason, or they've gotten it over into something that they haven't majored on the truth of what the Holy Spirit's ministry really is. It seems as if in the body of Christ today, you either have one group of people who know absolutely nothing about the Holy Spirit, but then you've got another group of people that all they think he's good for is goosebumps and a shout. No, I'm thankful for goosebumps and a shout, but friend, it's more than that. The Holy Spirit's ministry is one to empower your life, to give you power. He's the spirit of counsel, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge and revelation. And friend, I'm telling you, he's made my life tremendously better. But anyway, I grew up with that, familiar with this type of teaching my whole life. And I probably started speaking in tongues before age 10. Now, I don't know. My mom could probably tell a little bit more than that than maybe I could. But it was just so common to me, so real to me, that I never considered not doing it. But it was really when I went over to Rhema after my father passed away, and I went to Rhema Bible Training Center to enter into the ministry, get trained for the ministry, that I started speaking in tongues more than I ever had before. And I mentioned it last Wednesday that there was one particular night at the coffee shop I worked at. The coffee shop was owned by the Bible school I went to. So all the employees there were going to the same Bible school I was going to. And this one particular night, we were just talking about the things of the Lord, and a spirit of prayer fell on that place. And without anyone consulting anyone else, everyone in that place started praying. Just a normal work night before that, but a spirit of prayer just came in there. And for the next probably 3 months or so, every night a group of students and the people primarily who worked at the coffee shop would get together and pray every single night. I mean, we'd go to school from about 8:30 all the way to 12:30. Then I'd go to prayer and healing school from 1:30 to 3:30. And then after that, I'd typically go into work, get to work about 4, leave work at about 11, and then I'd go pray for about 2 or 3 hours every night, sometimes 5 hours, all the way up to, you get 1 hour sleep, take a shower, and then go to Bible school. But never knew I was tired, just supernaturally refreshed by the Lord. Like I said, this wasn't just praying in our own strength. There's a spirit of prayer that was backing all of this up. And as I mentioned last Wednesday, Brother Hagin, who is over the Bible school, he's since gone home to be with the Lord, he would always say this, that speaking in tongues is the doorway to the supernatural. And he'd always say after that, I didn't say spectacular, I said supernatural. And he'd go on to clarify the difference. Spectacular is something that you see with your eyes. It's a spectacle. It draws your natural focus and attention to what you're seeing. And granted, in our Bible as well as in our Christian walk, I'm sure we've seen some spectacular things happen. Put on a spectacle, signs and wonders. We see examples of that in the Scripture. But he would always say people are always looking for the spectacular and all the while missing the supernatural. And what he was talking about is the leadings and the promptings of the Lord. When God leads you and when God guides you, friend, that is supernatural. It's a supernatural thing to have a witness from God, a witness from the Holy Spirit. And he was saying that when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, it opens up the door for the supernatural in your life. And I kid you not, in that period of time of just taking the time every day to pray in an unknown tongue, the supernatural opened up to me. I'm not talking about getting weird or flaky. I'm talking about God became real to me. It's a sad fact, but it's the truth. So many God-professing Christians who have called upon the name of Jesus, God is not real to them. I mean, you can tell by the way they live. God is not real to them. But friends, during that moment, God became real to me. His voice became real to me in the sense of his leadings that he was leading me with on the inside were just as clear to me as someone talking to me on the outside. I heard Brother Hagin say that for the longest time. He said he'd drive in his car going to preach somewhere. And he'd say, thank you, Lord, you're more real to me than this steering wheel I feel in my hands. You're more real to me than the sound of the tires squeaking on the road. You're more real to me than the sound of my wife's voice. And he said he'd said that in faith for so many years, but he said one day it became a fact. God's voice was more real to him than any other voice in this world. And friends, I'm telling you, in that season of my life, it got that way. I knew God's voice. I mean, I knew it. And I knew it was because I was praying in an unknown tongue. See, it opens up the door towards your spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you, according to John chapter 16. And when you're praying in an unknown tongue, it's the Holy Spirit helping your spirit pray out the perfect will of God for your life. In John chapter 10, let's read this. Well, we can start off with verse 1. I think I said verse 2, but verse 1 is good too. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. This is Jesus talking. But he that entereth in the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name. Now, it was funny. I did a little bit of research on that just by accident while I was getting ready for this service. And come to find out, sheep know their name. That, you know, have you ever had a dog that maybe you had two dogs? We'll just say Willie and Sam. My dog's name is a he because he's a he. And that was the best name that my little, I guess, was she two or three? Four. That was the best name she'd come up with at 4 years old when she got the dog, was a he. That's the name that stuck. But just say you had two dogs, Willie and Sam. You could call Willie, and Willie would come, but Sam would stay where he is. Literally, sheep are that way. They know their own name, and they know their shepherd's voice and will respond to it versus all the other voices that may call on that same name. And that's what Jesus is saying. My sheep know my voice. He goes on to say in verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they what? Know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow him, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. They hear the voice, but they recognize it as a strange voice, so they don't follow it. But with Jesus, his sheep know his voice. But there's a part of this scripture that so oftentimes when people minister on, they leave out. And what I want you to see is in verse 2 through verse 3, notice something. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now watch this next phrase. To him the porter openeth. The porter is the keeper of the door. And it's his job to open up the door so that the shepherd can get to the sheep. I wanted in teaching on this to close out the series to talk about why I pray in the Holy Ghost so much. Out of my prayer life, I probably pray in the Holy Spirit 80% of the time. And I don't know how many hours per day I do it, but I do know it's in the hours. Well, somebody said, how can you do that and balance out life? I do that while I'm living. For instance, before I came up to preach over there, I was praying in the Holy Ghost and then walked up praying in the Holy Ghost and then stop until I opened up my mouth to talk to you. Why? Because I'm not going to pray in the Holy Ghost where your ears can hear it unless I'm ready to interpret what I'm saying, because if I did that, I would violate Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 for reference. I do that all the time, friend. I mean, taking the kids to school, on my way to work, opening up the mail, answering emails. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And with that, you've got to understand, according to Romans chapter 8, if you're not familiar with anything that I'm saying now, don't panic. You can download the podcast for free, where we go over all of this line by line, precept by precept, because once again, at this church, never believe me just because I'm good looking. Believe me because you see from God's word that what I'm saying is truth. If you ever hear me preach anything that I don't give you scripture to back up, leave it alone. Don't listen to me. Leave that subject completely alone, because you don't want my opinion. You want the word of God, and that's my job to give it to you. This porter has to open up the door for the shepherd. And what this is talking about is, and I'll come back to what I was just saying, what this is talking about is that in order for Jesus to get to a sheep, there's a porter that has to open up the door. And this is what prayer does. A prayer is the porter. He's the one who's opening up the door for Jesus to minister to the sheep. And friend, I'm telling you, this world is flat out prayer starved. Not just this world, but the average Christian's life, the average Christian's kids, the average Christian's job, the average Christian's everything is prayer starved. And where there is no prayer, God has no avenue to minister to what's not being prayed for. There's got to be a porter who sees the need for these sheep to be ministered to and is willing to open up the door for Jesus to get in and be the Savior that he's called to be. But friends, it's our job for our nation to see, for us to see with our nation, we need to open up the door for God to go to work. In our kids' life, we need to make sure we're a good porter, that we're opening up the door for our Savior to go in and minister to them, to keep them on the path that he has for your job, for your husband, for your wife. Are you opening up the door for the Savior to go to work? And what happens is, with this subject of prayer, people think, I don't have enough time to pray. I mean, when am I going to pray? Even my morning devotional. What I would suggest is, even with those things, make time to pray. Don't try to find time to pray, because it's been my experience, if you try to find time for it, you never will. You have to make time for it. But even with that, sometimes it's so difficult in life to find yourself feeding your life with a steady prayer diet, opening up the door for God to come in. And I've noticed in my life, this is where praying in the Holy Ghost is so wonderful. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, your spirit prays. Your spirit prays. And not only does it pray, it is praying out the perfect will of God for your life and whatever he's praying for. Like I said, 80% of the time I'm praying in the Holy Ghost in my prayer life. Now, out of that time, Paul said, I'll not only pray in the Spirit, but I'll pray in my understanding. I depend on praying in the Holy Ghost to help me know what I should pray for in my understanding. Does that make sense? Because you could be praying for something that was not God's will for your life at all. So anytime I start out praying for something, like even in staff prayer, I'll always start us out praying in the Holy Ghost. Why? I don't want to pray out my will. I want to pray out His will. And praying in the Holy Ghost is guaranteed 100% of the time that when you do it, you are praying out the perfect will of God. Now, out of that, the Bible says not only are you to pray in an unknown tongue, but He said when you do it, you are also to pray that you interpret what you're praying for. Does this make sense? You know what? Don't just take my word for it. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go over there and we'll look at it with our own eyes. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And notice this, what he's saying here in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 13. He says, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may what? Interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my what prayeth? My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is fruitful, meaning your mind doesn't understand what you're saying or what you're praying for. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Now, notice he says that I will pray with an unknown tongue and with my understanding. I will sing in the spirit with an unknown tongue and with my understanding. But before that, what did he tell us to do? When we pray in an unknown tongue, we are also to pray that we what? Interpret what we're saying. Why? For one of two reasons. For number one, where you can know the will of God for your life. Because every time you're praying out in the Holy Ghost, you are praying the perfect will of God. So if you pray that you may interpret what you're praying, you're tapping into the will of God that way. But secondly, it helps you pray out in your understanding, and that's where unction comes. What I mean by that is when you get an unction in prayer, it means you know in your heart you're supposed to pray for Sally Sue and for a specific financial need. And you get direction and unction. It's a burden, I guess would be an old school Pentecostal term to use, a burden to pray for something. It's not just you praying for someone or you praying for your life. It's God giving you an unction to pray for that, and you pray that out in your own understanding. And so in my life, typically, like I said, 80% of the time, in fact, one of my favorite things in all the world to do is to sit back in a big comfortable chair, plop my feet up, get me a Diet Coke, sit there and pray in an unknown tongue, and just in the middle of it, Father, I thank you, I'm interpreting what I'm praying. You told me to pray that I would interpret what I'm praying. And friends, it's not just but a couple of minutes later, I start getting direction for life, direction for ministry, direction to pray for this family, direction to pray for that. Why? Because when you're praying in the Spirit, you are praying out the perfect will of God for your life, for the ministry, for your family, for this other family, for this person. So friends, what I'm aiming to do tonight is to get you making a habit of praying in the Holy Ghost. Make it a habit. I mean, as much as you can do it, do it. If you just took an hour a day and prayed in the Holy Ghost, at the end, and that's while you're doing the dishes, that's while you're folding laundry. If you just took an hour a day to do it, by the end of the year, you would have prayed 365 hours of the perfect will of God. Take time to do it. Paul said within the church, if the unknown tongue is given, make sure that there is an interpreter. But he said in my own personal private life, I think, my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Paul made a habit out of it. Why is it so vitally important? Friends, I've noticed this in my life, that every significant leading and every significant breakthrough came after a time of praying in the Holy Ghost. Every significant leading And every significant breakthrough in my life came from a time of praying in the Holy Ghost. Like I said, I had that prayer group at Rhema, and we were praying every night. And during that time, on one particular evening, the Lord spoke to my heart something that I mentioned quite a good bit in the church, and I actually did a series on it. The Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, I never want there to be a time in your life where you are not living in answered prayer. Meaning that you're praying, I hesitate to use the phrase so much, because you don't want to get people the impression that they can't do it. But in essence, you've prayed enough to where you wake up every day in answered prayer. That before you lived out today, a year ago, a week ago, a month ago, you prayed for today, and your prayers have caught up to you. And I got the impression from that night forward that in that prayer group, we'd get together sometimes in a group and pray for specific things. But more than any other time, we just get together in the same room and we'd pray for ourselves, meaning we weren't praying as a group together, but rather just taking the time to pray. And I know without a shadow of my doubt in that span of 3 months that I prayed out the next couple of years of my life. Some of it I got glimpses of because I'd pray, Father, I thank you that you interpret what I'm saying. And I would see things, not see it with the natural eye, but in my heart I knew certain things would take place. But more than any other thing, I knew that I was praying for my future. And there was a time after I left Rhema and came back to pastor the church where it seemed like within a matter of a couple of months, breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough was taking place. I don't know if you've ever been in a span of your life like I was at that time where for a year or more, probably a year and a couple of months, everything I was in was a struggle. I mean, it was a struggle to preach. It seemed like it was a struggle to pray. It was a struggle to I'll put it to you this way. My main focus during that season of life was to just suck air. Wake up every day and just make it to the next one. I'm not kidding when I say that. And over that time, the Lord specifically dealt with me to do some things. But one particular month, it just seemed like everything broke free. Not just a freedom to where you were seeing growth in the natural, but even spiritually, it was a freedom there. I mean, just a freedom there. And things started progressing. And I'll be honest with you, they haven't stopped ever since. And I asked the Lord during that season, I said, Lord, what is this? Things are just different. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, you remember back at Rhema? And I spoke that to your heart, that I desire every day of your life to be lived in answered prayer. He said, your prayers have finally caught up to you. And now you're living in what you were praying for. Friend, you've got to have seasons like that. And even to this day, I was thinking about it while I was writing this message. And I'm not even going through my notes today because I've got a lot of different things I wrote down. But I just felt led to just kind of talk and be open to what the Lord was wanting to say. But even this morning, I was thinking about this in my own devotional. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, it just seems as if it's too easy. And sometimes it's so easy, it makes me nervous. My flesh gets nervous because it's like, is this just the calm before the storm? Or, you know what I'm saying? And so that's what I was talking to the Lord about. It just seems as if it's too easy. And the Lord reminded me of a time where I prayed just that way. And he took me to a particular passage of scripture. Let's go over there and look at it. Ezekiel. Chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. I'll give you some time to get there. Look at there. I opened up right to it. Ezekiel chapter 47. On the screens, if you can pull up John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. Brother Hagin, in his book, he made a couple of statements. I can testify this. It's truth. If you don't have this book, I would strongly, strongly recommend you get it. It's entitled Tongues Beyond the Upper Room. It is the best book I have ever read on the subject. I had a couple come down to me last Wednesday night, and they said they were spirit-filled a month and a half ago when we started the series. And they said they had so many questions about it. And through the series and picking up this book and reading it, they have just seen the incredible benefits of it. Because one of the things I like about in the book is he's going to give you scripture after scripture to support his case, which is awesome. But he says this in on page 341. He said, some folks are always looking for something they can do to reach their goal or find success. You know, I fall into that trap a good bit. I'll just be honest. I'll even sit down and ask the staff sometimes, hey, what do you guys think we could do to accomplish this goal or to experience more success? And I kid you not, it's not within about 10 minutes of sending out that email or having that conversation that the Lord deals with me directly. I never told you to think about what to do. I told you to pray about what to do. And anyway, it says some folks, he wrote this, some folks are always looking for something they can do to reach their goal or find success. But the answer isn't found in man's natural strength or reasoning powers. I simply replied, and he was talking about other ministers asking him how his ministry became successful. He said, I simply reply and say, I'll tell you what I did. It was a matter of waiting on God and spending hours praying in the Holy Ghost. That's how I received direction and revelation for every step and stage of this ministry. And I can honestly say that for this ministry as well. Anything good that has taken place was an idea that came from God while I was praying in the Holy Ghost or one of my staff members was. Anything that we struggle with is something we came up with in a staff meeting without praying about it first. That's the truth. And I was praying, like I said, probably about this same type of prayer about 2 years ago. Father, it just seems like this is too easy. And he took me to this scripture in Ezekiel chapter 47. And on the screens, like I said, keep it up there with John chapter 7 and verse 37. Let's read this in Ezekiel 47. It says, afterward, he brought me again. This is Ezekiel's a prophet. A prophet is a seer, meaning they come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And Ezekiel is seeing a vision here. In Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse 1, it said, afterwards, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from where? Out from the house. Now, I'll correlate this to what Jesus said in the book of Matthew, my house shall be called a house of what? A house of prayer. Well, who's the house of God today? We are. We are the temple of God. So I always like to say, are you a temple of prayer? Because we are called to be a house of prayer. But notice this, there was waters issuing out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand, and they were using the line to measure how deep the water was, went forthward, he measured 1,000 cubits. How much water is that? I don't know. I'm thankful it tells us in a minute here. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. So when the man measured the water was coming up to the ankles. If you were standing in the water would be coming up to your ankles. Verse 3, and when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and now the waters were to the knees. So from the ankles to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the water were to the loins or to the waist. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me to the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And then he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the loins. Verse 5, afterwards he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could be not passed over, meaning you couldn't get back onto dry land once you were in it. The water, it was just a river running so strong, so deep, that all you could do was just swim in it. You couldn't get back on to the other side to go back and walk on the land. You just were stuck there in the river, swimming in the river. And notice what the river did, verse 6. And he said unto me, son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, and behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. And he said unto me, these waters issue out towards the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. Nothing dead. Anything that the waters touch, the waters heal. If it's broken, the waters, when they touch it, heal it. If it's dead, when the waters touch it, it brings life. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, provision, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whether the river cometh. Wherever that river goes, whatever that river touches, provision's there, life is there, healing is there, revitalization is there. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from the first E even unto the second E. And they shall be a place to spread forth their nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. Supernatural provision. I mean abundance on every side. Healing, revitalization. Can't get to the land to walk anymore. You're just swimming in the river that's flowing. And so he took me to that scripture. Now, when I say he took me, just on the inside, I knew I need to go to Ezekiel chapter 47. And then after that, after I read that, I felt led to go to John chapter 7, verse 37. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of what? Living water. What did that river do? It healed. It brought life. It brought quickening. Everything that the river touched came to life, began to flourish. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. But this he spake of the what? The Spirit, which they that believed on him should what? Receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Who's the source of all these rivers? The Holy Spirit. And friend, I'm telling you, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're releasing that river that's on the inside of you. And the Lord dealt with me that day. He said, for the past couple of months, when you first started ministry, the water was only ankle deep. It was only ankle deep. You were in it, but there wasn't a constant flow. But as you began to progress in life, progress in the Spirit, progress in making praying in the Holy Ghost a lifestyle, the waters became to the knees, and then they got up to the loins. And friend, I'm telling you now, they are so deep. All I can do is swim in it, friend. And like I said, when it gets to that place, it just seems as if everything is easy. And you pray prayers like, God, why is this so easy? Why? You're in the river. And when the river is flowing, it flows to every area of your life. I like that. Rivers out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Friend, it's designed by God to help you in life. Why do you think Paul said, I thank my God I do it more than you all? It was a lifestyle, a habit. Why? He needed that river of flowing. Friend, I'm going to ask you a question tonight. How deep is your river? Is it ankle deep? Is it to the knees? Is it to the loins? Or is it so deep all you can do is swim? You can't even get to the shore in your own natural strength. You just sit back and enjoy what God's doing. Not that you're not working. It's just that the work is graced. It's favored. How deep is your river? Now, with this, notice it took the river a little bit of time. Ankle, then got up to the knees, then got up to the loins, but now it's flowing. And the trick is, once it starts flowing, that you don't just sit back and relax. I'm fired up even with that with my staff. Now's not the time to just sit back and not pray like we used to. No, now's the time to get up and do it even more. Why? Keep that river flowing. I'll end with this story. During that same prayer meeting that I said with the other Rhema students, and we were praying every night, on one particular night, I had a vision. Now, this has only happened to me a couple of times, but I had a vision, and this was a real vision. And in the vision, I saw a huge dam with a reservoir. You know, if you're familiar with our dam that's there on the Ross Barnett Reservoir that leads into the Pearl River, it was probably 50 times that. I mean, a huge, I've never seen the Hoover Dam in person, but I get the impression, if you've ever seen it, it's probably about that size. Just a huge dam with a huge body of water behind it. But the riverbed that the dam was blocking, the riverbed behind me was barren, just dry, cracked. You know, if you've ever seen dirt, it's real dry and it's cracked. That was what was behind it. And in that vision, I saw me and a couple of other people, the people who were praying, on scaffolding. Have you ever seen when they bring down scaffolding off of great big buildings where the guys clean the windows? It's attached to the top of the building and they can raise it and lower it to clean the windows. That's what we were on, that type of deal, where it was attached by lines up to the top of the dam and then we could raise it or lower it. And we were sitting there, each one on their own little piece of equipment, and we had a chisel in one hand and a hammer in the other. And we were sitting there just banging away on this great big wall. And man, it looked like no progress was being made whatsoever. I mean, just this the massive wall that was there, it just seemed like, man, this little chisel and this little hammer, it's not going to do anything to get this water flowing. But we stayed on it. And finally, I saw that in the place where we were chiseling, just a little spick of water came out and hit us in the face. And it was just squirting out like that. And so we started chiseling away a little bit more. You know, that first sign of life encourages you. And eventually a huge crack came up that dam. And that water, all that water that was in that great big reservoir behind it, it broke through that dam. And man, it caught us on that scaffolding and we were just washed out down that river. And friend, I'm telling you, that's what happens, not just in praying in the Holy Spirit, but what happens in prayer. You're opening up the door for God's Spirit to move in your life. You remember back in Genesis chapter 1, the Holy Spirit was hovering across the face of the deep. But he wasn't doing anything until God opened up his mouth. But when God said, let there be light, the Holy Spirit went to work to bring to life what God called. And friends, I'm telling you, in your life, especially if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with that Spirit. You're filled with that life. You're filled with that creativity. But he's waiting on your words. Whether it's the words spoken from your mouth in your known tongue or unknown tongue, he needs words to make that Spirit Spirit go to moving. That's the beauty of the unknown tongue, because sometimes you don't have the words to pray, but that's why you got the Holy Ghost. You start out in that, and then you get the words to pray in your own understanding. Friend, how deep is your river? Just wading in it? I don't want to be in the kiddie pool. That's fun. You know, but I want to teach my kids even now. You know, they don't know how to swim. We're going to teach them at the end of this month. But they don't know how to swim. And so, you know, when you take them to the pool, you got a kiddie pool and you got the big boy pool. And in the kiddie pool, you know, you couldn't drown if you tried. I mean, even a little baby could push himself out of it. There's no swim there. There's no grooves there. You're still having to walk back and forth. But man, you get over in the big pool, you can just float. You can lay it up there and just float away. Why? It's got a depth to it. And friends, I'm telling you, so many Christians, the reason why they're struggling, they're still in the kiddie pool. Get that river flowing, friend. Flowing towards your life, flowing towards your job, flowing towards your church, flowing towards your kids. Get the river flowing. And once you get it flowing, keep it flowing. Amen. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. How about you? Like I said, I want to encourage you with this final message. Be a doer of it. Be a doer of it. I'll put it this way. I guarantee you, if you took time to just set aside time, even, for just an hour a day to pray in the Holy Ghost, I guarantee you, within a matter of days, you will see not only a noticeable difference in life, but a noticeable difference in you. It changes you. It charges you. It edifies you. Builds yourself up on your most holy faith. Friend, I encourage you. Then after that, make it a habit. Just slap, make it a habit. And if you're at a place where you need a significant breakthrough in your life, take a season and do it. A season. I'm talking where you shut the door and you keep it locked and you're before God in prayer for just a couple of hours a day. Take a season of doing it. Why? You're building a road that's going to lead you to your destiny. He needs a road. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Someone's got to open up that door. You're opening up the door to your destiny. If you need a significant breakthrough, take the time to do it. Take the time to pray out the plan of God for your life. Amen. Let's pray. Father,